5-16, 2022, Planning Board Public Hearing. This hearing will come to order. The Lyman Planning Board is holding this public hearing to review the request of Bonnie Beg Development, LLC, Map 11, Lot 122 to 382, Goodman's Mills Road, application for contract zoning. This is a public proceeding, and unless the board specifically votes for an executive session, you have the right to hear everything that is being said and look at all the exhibits that are offered. Please notify the chairman if you have difficulty seeing or hearing the presentation. This meeting is being recorded and televised on YouTube. All persons speaking will be asked to first state the name and address or affiliation. All questions and comments will be directed to and through the chairman. It is required that you sign the sign-in sheet to document your attendance at this hearing. All persons speaking are asked to speak once. The chairman will not recognize them to speak a second time or multiple times until everyone in the room has had a chance to speak once. We ask that concerns and comments are not repeated. For the record, the Planning Board acknowledges all the attendees of the February 2nd public hearing as participating in the process and have standing. All the comments and concerns voiced also have standing. Thank you in advance for your cooperation. Okay, well, who would like to be first? We'll let Mr. Tibbetts go first.
Excuse me.
You want to give a presentation first?
No, it's more of a process.
Okay.
Our backs are to the people. Where do you want us to sit? It seems awkward.
Push the table out, turn, sit on the side, I guess.
Just to make it easier, I don't want my back to you.
That's okay. You can
face me. I don't mind.
Your preference is probably to face the audience.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I just thought it would be easier.
I understand.
Okay, Mr. Tibbetts.
Okay, thank you. My name is John Tibbetts, 765 Clarkswood Road. First, I appreciate the careful consideration the Planning Board has given the townspeople at the February 2nd hearing for the Bonnie Beg request. I also appreciate the detailed minutes that the hearing made available to everybody on your webpage. That shows me that you valued our input and will reference it going forward. The questions you listed in the minutes of your March 2nd meeting are important questions. Thank you for seeking legal counsel and all your hard work. I am here as a concerned citizen, not in my role as a selectman. We know that your recommendation is not binding on the selectmen. They have a choice to adopt your findings or other findings indicated that the rezoning is consistent with the four standards. As the owner of Bonnie Beg, by making this request, Selectman Zal's opinion is known. Although he will recuse himself from voting, please watch the other selectmen. As the ordinance says, they must state the findings they use for their votes. I reported my findings at the last hearing where I made the case for the fact that the proposed planned unit development is not compliant with our comprehensive plan and ordinances. The revised request now says the PUD is a condominium, but it still does not meet the four standards. Since the last hearing, we learned that the land being proposed for this project has been for sale at least since January. Michael Rogers from Bean Group is the listing agent. He gave testimony at the last hearing and never mentioned this. The property is advertised on the internet as two separate properties that may be combined. Cousin School is listed as a commercial building with 1.5 acres of land. The balance of the land is listed as development property consisting of 11.6 acres of land. My math says that's a total of 13.1 acres. Bonnie Beg requests a contract zoning for a PUD on 14.6 acres. How does that work? Is the plan to sell the school building or incorporate it into the PUD or not? That's not the only inconsistency in the request. If the school is purchased separately, the owner can't use it commercially in the residential district without site review. Contract zoning will be required to override the minimum 3-acre size lot allowed. Without the school building, depending on which total acreage numbers you choose, the density is either 1/3 or 1/4 acre per unit. In either case, it's not the 16,300 square feet as stated in the request. All amounts are still far below the 3-acre minimum allowed by ordinance. Additionally, the statement that the property is special is not valid. Both properties are in the residential district and will need rezoning in order to be developed for the purposes stated in their advertising. I personally question the motive of the developer because he's also a selectman who refused to receive qualified people on the ordinance review committee. Nor has he, in the 2 years he's been a selectman, submitted an ordinance change, update, or addition by initiative or referendum, which is his right to do. If he had gone about this the right way, and the people voted affirmatively for this type of housing ordinance, we would not be arguing the validity of this request today. Instead, without proper ordinances, he's trying to push this development through by the way a contract rezoned. Without the contract rezoning, the properties are worth a fraction of what the developer and real estate agent are asking. Next, the request states that for purposes of land use and zoning, there are no difference between PUDs and condominiums or subdivisions. But that is not correct either. Ownership of the land has everything to do with zoning, land use, tax assessment, and tax assessment. While researching this, I found that the differences are very, very important in real estate, land development, and insurance. Bonnie Bake and the B Group should know the difference. Potential buyers are strongly advised to know the differences before purchasing. The differences greatly affect the way our assessor classifies the properties and distributes the tax burden. Insurance needs will be different for all three. Additionally, the laws of the state of Maine are very different regarding the development, maintenance, and transfer of PUDs, condos, and subdivisions. The revised request emphasizes on certain terms in the comprehensive plan, like rural and residential zones. The actual emphasis should be on investigate establishing different lot sizes and develop varying land use and density patterns. These are both action directives given to the town to accomplish, not permission for any property owner to exploit our ordinances. Until the town fulfills the tasks listed in the comprehensive plan to create new ordinances and districts voted on by the people, projects like this should not even be considered. Particularly using contract rezoning. I recommend the developer make a new request without all the inconsistencies. If his intention is to include the school building to increase the acreage, he must state his proposed use affirmatively without the words if and may. There also should be an added condition of a performance bond payable to the town in case of default. The state advocates for municipalities to require a bond of no less than 25% of the total construction cost. See Title 38, Chapter 187, 4325, Paragraph 5-2, Paragraph 7. And I have my documentation I'd like to give you people. There's additional research that supports this in here. All right. One each for you, sir. Yes, sir. One each for you. Excuse me. One each for you, Mr. Thank Chair. You. You too, Don. There's also some discussion and research about contract zone and that. I think you gentlemen and Seal will find interesting. I'm shaking. You guys can tell I don't do this very often.
John,
thank you.
Can you be careful of that?
I will. I will.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Patty, this time, I got you taken care of.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Again, thank you guys for the opportunity. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joseph Winkowski. I'm the attorney for Hornbeck. My name is Joseph Winkowski. I'm the attorney for Barney Bay Development. My office is in Sanford, Maine. I just want to clear up one thing quickly, and hopefully within any luck it all shut up for the rest of the evening. I'm here mainly because of the ordinance and statutory interpretation issues that were raised the last time around and were submitted to by the board to MMA and to your own legal counsel. And on one of those particular issues, the question of whether the 20,000 square foot minimum would preclude what this project was originally asking for. I've had a chance to review the opinions you got both from MMA and from Brad Morin. And in view of those opinions, we agree that this project will have to be configured in such a way that each unit is assigned a minimum of 20,000 square foot of space. So the quick math suggests to me that that means that the number, I believe the suggested number of units in the submission you have now was 36 plus residential plus 3.
Plus, the original was plus 9.
Right. That was eliminated early on. It went to 3 in the school. So now, by my math, we have the total number of units would have to be reduced to 31. And Michael probably will speak better than I can as to how that's going to be done. But I think that also addresses some of the other issues that have been raised about how the square footage is calculated and so on. That's all I really wanted to say now. I just wanted to tell you that as far as we're concerned, we're accepting the interpretation that the town has received on that issue. If there are other legal issues that come up during the course of the proceeding, I'm here. Otherwise, I'll sit down and shut up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody want to be next? Question?
Mr. Chair, by name, just as a follow-up to Mr. Tippett's presentation, according to the information that he has provided us, that the school was up for sale as of February 7th of this year. Is it still up for sale?
Yes, sir.
So, partly on which this...
Well, everything is available that is in our society. In real estate, people buy and sell. If Mr. Alves does not get this approved, he needs to do something with the property. So we can't lose an opportunity that does come by. I have been showing it. So we're taking tracks of whether it's going to be approved or not. It's only the prudent course of action.
Thank you.
Next question or comment? Mr. DeLong?
My name is Brian DeLong. I live on 105 Chapel Shores Road here in Lyman. In Bonnie Begg's request for contract zone, they provided the following, I'm quoting, a description of the property's unusual nature or unique location. The property is unique in its potential to meet the housing goals of the comprehensive plan while also providing the opportunity to preserve the long-standing town landmark. Cousins Memorial School is an important part of Lyman's cultural heritage. It's been an integral part of the town's social fabric since the construction in 1937. After rezoning, the unique nature and location of the property will allow for increased residential density while protecting a treasured cultural asset and preserving open space and community recreational facilities. It's hard to imagine an outcome which would be more in tune with the housing goals set by the comprehensive plan, end quote. It appears that the most critical item allowing this property to be considered is a unusual nature or unique location as required to allow for contract zone, is the school. Cousins School must be preserved. However, in their proposed conditions and restrictions, they have offered this, quote, "The Cousins School building shall not be used for residential purposes. In the event that the Cousins School's building is used to house professional office and or personal service business condominium units, any required renovation shall fully preserve the front exterior of the building, except for changes if any required by local, state, or federal ordinance, statute, or regulation." The problem I see with this statement is if the school building is not used to house professional office space or personal service business condominiums, it may be removed from the site with no ramifications. I suggest that if it is determined that the Cousins School indeed gives this property an unusual nature or unique location, then the condition should state specifically, under no circumstances will the school be removed, and that the renovation will fully preserve the front exterior of the building, except for changes, if any, required by local, state, or federal ordinance, statute, or regulation. I'm providing a copy for the board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more questions or comments? Could you state your name, please?
My name's Carl Poisson. I live at 387 Goodwins Mills Road, directly across from Cousins School. My only concern is the traffic. I know what it's like when baseball games get out. People are sitting there, headlights in my kitchen. I know people are going to be speeding out of there. So that's my biggest concern with this whole thing. From what I saw on the map, it looks like, it's going to be coming out right in front of my house. So, done a lot of work to restore that place. If anyone remembers what it looked like before I bought it.
Yeah.
So, I already have a development in my backyard. I'm not looking for another one. My phone. That's my concern.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I broke my promise already. I just wanted to very... Because the point that was just raised, I was not looking in his direction, so I'm not sure who was speaking, but is a good one. But one thing I just want to be clear, because there's some confusion, I think. Contract zoning, if this application for contract zoning is approved, it is not going to be an approval of this specific project. What will happen if the contract zoning is approved is that the developer will then have to come back in front of the planning board with an actual subdivision plan. And at that point, the planning board will have the opportunity to do site plan review, all of the other process, part of the process for subdivisions, which means traffic studies, all of those things that have to be presented to the board and to the public before any subdivision plan can be approved. So you get another bite at the apple if there are, for people who have problems or issues like traffic. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands that. This isn't the end. This isn't the end of the show.
Yes, Leo?
Does our ordinance allow...
Could you state your name first?
Leo Thibodeau. Does our ordinances actually allow for a project of this magnitude? Is there anything in our ordinances with a project of this magnitude?
The ordinance has contract zoning in it.
Right, I understand that it has contract zoning, but, I mean, this is quite a project, and our ordinance is severely outdated. I'm not sure that it includes this type of development. I don't know, it's just a question. I haven't been on the Ordinance Review Committee in years, so...
I believe it would have to come back as a subdivision if it was
in
approved.
The ordinance. In,
through the ordinance, yes.
And I believe site plan review.
It would be site plan review.
So it would be a combination of it. Yeah.
Mr. Hull, would you like to speak?
Well, yes, my name is Rick Hull. I live at 429 Goodman's Mills Road. And I'm not unalterably opposed to this project. I mean, I think that to me, the scale is the problem. And it requires a traffic study, and I do agree with Joe that there will be another bite at the apple, but the planning board does have the power to waive certain standards, and I think that there ought to be a condition imposed, a recommendation from you, and one imposed by the selectmen, that there can't be a request for a waiver of the traffic study, because that this project will have a horrendous, in my opinion, effect on the traffic on Route 35. So I would ask that be a condition that is imposed, that it can't be waived by the planning board. Not that you guys would do that necessarily, but you have the power to do it, and I think the contract zone process really should take that away from you. The other thing is, I find, first of all, we've been told today that the contract is, that the project is going to be scaled down. But do you have a new plan that shows the configuration of the buildings and any of that?
Not yet, because this was actually just, I just got the opinions from MMA and from Brad today. Uh-huh. And as a result of those, advised my client, as I just said, so there really hasn't been an opportunity to do that yet.
Well, I might suggest you don't know what you're acting on, location of buildings. I mean, the standards under Section E of the contract zone section says that there be conditions and restrictions opposed, and they'll relate to the physical development of the operation. And you can specifications for the design and layout of buildings. That's part of the recommendation that you make to the selectmen. Well, if you don't have a plan that is going to be how it's going to be configured, and also too, as Mr. Tibbett says, I'm confused as to whether or not the school is going to be part of the condominium, or whether they're going to declare only the land in the back as part of the condominium, and the school is going to be a separate parcel of land. I understood from the last hearing we had that this would all be part of the condominium and would be subject to the rules and regulations, and I'm going to suggest that part of the condition that you guys recommend is that that building remain as it is, and no changes, including tearing it down, can be done without coming back for an amendment to the contract zone. Because there's nothing in here that would indicate to me that if they decided that they didn't want to use it for a residential use and didn't want to use it for a commercial use, that it would be that it could be torn down. And the other thing is, there's a ball field there. I don't know whether that's going to be part of the condominium project, but there ought to be some, the developer has said they'll preserve that. There ought to be some condition on there that it be preserved and that it somehow be funded. And I'm going to reserve the right to stand up again if I could.
Great points. The ball field, we've made statements, and that will get picked up with the planning board. That's our intentions all along. This is one of the appeals for the town, is that we're going to keep that open space, the ball field. The school will be part of the plan for the entire 14.6 acres. We propose 15 duplexes, so we're going to truncate it by 17% from 36 down to 30. It will be, generally speaking, the same road. We just may shorten the road, all right? So there'll be less pavement, and it's going to go on a diet, and we're just going to make it. Again, I'm Stevens, the engineer, but he will design it accordingly. Now, he has more room, and there's going to be less taxing of water and soils, so it will be easier, everything else being considered. And as far as for changes to the school, on the front, we don't anticipate any changes, but there are different governmental regulations that occur or force majeure acts of God that may occur, and it gets damaged. We don't know. These all, it's conjecture at this point.
It's a concept. It's important to know that. That's the first concept. We're hoping to get a lot of input. Should this go forward from the planning board, from the peer review, whatever peer review is for the town? There will be technical review hired outside, paid by the developer. That's right in the site plan ordinance. So, I mean, we're looking forward to getting a bunch of input. The school is a central part of this project. So, if you want to alter that condition, so be it. It's pretty clear, but if that's a technical, right, Joe?
That's correct. I think I don't believe we have any objection to the suggestion. I think it was Mr. Tibbetts made that a condition be. We intended it to be, so it wasn't an intentional oversight. If it was an oversight, we don't have a problem with a condition that says that the school building stays, because there was never any. There was never any concept that this plan was ever going to do anything other than that. So we would be perfectly content with that being added as a condition, if the board felt that was.
Ma'am, do you have a question or a comment?
There's sort of two of them. I'm Katrina Randall. I live at 589 Williams Road. First, could the gentleman in the blue plaid shirt, and could you tell me who you are? I don't know you. I haven't been coming to all these events.
Oh, Steve Blaze, Blaze Civil Engineers out of Scarborough.
Thank you. And you're working with the gentleman, Mr. Alves?
Yep.
With
okay. Bag.
Yeah.
We're the civil engineer.
And you saw our...
Oh, Michael Rogers. I'm the real estate agent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then my other question is, do you guys have you any thoughts of what you would do with Cousin School? Is it going to sit there as a vacant building, needs heat in order to not disintegrate and...
Yeah,
that's my other question.
It's a little market driven. I think there's a lot of ideas out there. What we'd like is something that works well with the town. I mean, honestly, if we tried to leave our options as open as possible.
Yeah.
We got feedback that, you know, 9 units in there. Let's not do that. Okay. So now we're down to we're going to call it 1 unit, I guess. We were 3 before, but.
I showed it to an engineering firm.
Yeah.
They loved it, but it was too far away from their present operation. I showed it a daycare would like to use part of, they love the left side, but it's such in flux right now, so they want to lease, but we can't go forward until we get this resolved. I showed 2 of the rooms for offices, and then I had a trucking school, education school, wanted it. I didn't think it would be a good use, having the trucks out back and for practicing. I didn't, so that was me, and I just didn't think it would be a good fit. So we're trying to get the right users, which would blend well with the our plan.
Thank you. That's helpful. There's been thought and ideas.
We didn't even know if there might be a town function in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little...
Mr. Rancourt, you have
questions? Yeah, Mike Rancourt, I live on Murphy's Way. I didn't fully hear what the counselor had said in terms of what you would be willing to put for conditions. Can you just restate that, please?
Yes, I was responding to, I believe it was Mr. Tibbetts' suggestion that there should be something in there that makes it a condition that the school building must remain on the property, that it can't be torn down. And I was saying we would be fine with a condition like that. It was never our plan to remove that school building. It's all we need to, as Steve was just saying, as Michael was just saying, you got to find the right use for it, but it's going to stay. It's part of the project.
Okay. So, inconsistent with that, then would that condition also extend to it being tied to the overall project, where it wouldn't be sold independently from the condominiums out back?
No, it
could be.
Hopefully, I'm answering the right question. But no, the plan is that this is all one project, including the school building and
right.
the school property.
Right, but that the language that was just discussed before was relative to changing the appearance of the school or tearing it down. But what if Mr. Al's or the development company wanted to sell that building independently of the condos being built behind it? Would the contract zone conditions not allow for that? Meaning, the whole thing has to get sold, or which would eliminate the contract zone, obviously, and have to come back and do it again. Or he could sell the building independently, and the development stays behind. I'm just trying to understand that part.
The first, if the contract zone is approved the way we're now talking about it, with the conditions we are talking about, he could not do that.
He could not
separate
okay.
the school property because
correct.
All of
okay.
the land is necessary to comply with the conditions of the contract.
Thank you. That's what I was just talking about.
It is the purpose of the whole. A lot of this is to preserve the school,
right.
to make it work. So, yeah, if you cut it in two,
okay.
it's done.
Thank you very
and
much.
And if you have to follow up with, if it's not ultra clear in the language, we're willing to clarify it.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, I'll take the guy in the back first.
Thank you. Mike Gervais, 755 South Waterboro Road, parishioner in St. Phillips. So, still trying to learn. So, is everything stated in the last meeting part of the record, so we don't have to restate any of that stuff again?
Yes, it is.
So that's all part of the public hearing process? And
yes, it is.
So the next question was to, these parcels are going to be combined into one parcel, and the conditions for this parcel are all going to be part of the project.
Correct. That's what the lawyer was stating.
What's that?
That's what the lawyer was stating just a minute ago.
The two lots are going to be combined, and then that will all be part of the project.
That's correct.
Part of three lots.
Yeah, there are actually two prime lots and then a piece of another lot that go together to make the 14 point, whatever it is, acres.
Six.
All of that acreage will be subject to the conditions of the contract zone. So none of it can be separated once the contract zone is approved, because then it would be out of compliance. So,
okay.
Yes, all conditions apply to all property, all every portion of the property.
Okay, so... And this is learning, it's a comment more than anything. After the last public hearing, I went looking for housing for the kids, like everybody's doing, looking at real estate, and I did come across that ad for selling that property. And no issue with selling the two separate pieces of property, but I did find it offensive that contract zoning was mentioned in the ad, and it alluded that it was a done deal. And the thought that ran through my mind was, why did I spend a wonderful day at Town Hall? Okay. So again, it's did nothing wrong. It's his right to sell it. But by mentioning contract zoning after that last heated public hearing, it was like, well, why did I even show up? So just a note for you. I mean, thank you.
And there's been no reference to anything as a done deal. It all says...
No, I read it again.
I read it.
You're right.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you just said you...
No, it mentions contract zoning. And when you read it the first time, I assumed, you know what happens when you assume, that, and then when you reread it, it's, but contract, if you're selling the property separately, why does contract zoning have to be mentioned in the property at all? This is for Peg. The documentation that was on the real estate ad was better than what Town Hall had as far as drawings go.
The reply, why does it have to be mentioned? Because the concept of, at that time, there were 36 units. The only way would be with a contract zone. So the reference in the ad was that it would be an approval of a contract zone is required. And it is also conceptual, subject to change. That's what I had to make reference.
My first read just was offensive to me. That's all I'm saying. It's a comment, public hearing.
good. We don't, I, no, not, no, it, well, I'm not I don't want to intend to offend anyone, so I'm sorry.
Okay, sir, you have a question or comment?
Tannen Furnace, Wild DuPont Road. What's the, so that price that you guys have it listed, is that including contract zoning, or is that without contract zoning? And what would the percentage more be if it gets approved contract zoning? I think they should know.
It is currently, right now, the it is listed just currently at 525, and that's as is right now. So that would not be with the contract zoning. And I can't speculate as to the value because we don't know what the contract zone, and again, we have to go through the planning board. There are so many different issues that will have to be tested. And Stephen, you can talk about that, the soils, the water. So we are looking at 30 residential units, but right, it may not hold. It might hold for less. So we don't have a value. If someone came in down the road, there's too many unknown variables. Good question.
So that price won't change if this gets passed without those soil tests?
There's, I mean, there are many variables. The market is dynamic. It changes.
And there's, anyone that would buy it, they're going to have a lot of questions, obviously.
You have to project through the back of the...
Yeah. But usually people are telling me the opposite of something lying down. So, what was I saying? That there's, a buyer would have a lot of questions, obviously, and they'd probably have a lot of conditions on it.
Correct.
There's a lot of permitting that has to be done, even outside of town permitting. There's DEP, for one. They'll be looking at a lot of stuff, and the drinking water program and the subsurface wastewater program, both state programs. So there's a lot that has to happen. So there'd be a lot of, I don't think anyone's going to come by with that much in cash and just drop it down and start going,
Right.
Hey, ma'am.
Hi, Evelyn Lord, Chapel Shores Road. I just have a couple of questions. We're newbies in the area, only 8 years here, but my concern is if this project is approved, and let's say down the road, any renovations to Cousins School is prohibitive. Is there any chance that down the road, once this is approved, that Cousins School could be put up for sale separately? Because it's too much. It's too much money to repair, to make into these other uses.
These guys are asking for, it's all going to be one unit. It won't be able
correct.
To be sold.
Correct. So it can never be
sold. So let's say this is all approved, and 5 years from now, we have 30 homeowners in the 15 duplexes. There's also a group or person or an entity that would own Cousins School. And they could be owning it and operating their business from there. It could be an engineering firm. It could be a medical group, a doctor, or it could be many other, I don't know. But that would be their decision if they want to sell, but they would still be bound by the contract zone. So they couldn't change it without approvals by the town.
And that's definite. That's part, that's
definite.
A legal.
That's part of the contract
that's
zone.
That's a legal.
That's the contract zone agreement, and that's the permitting and the use that would all be approved with the town.
Mr. Hull?
I'd only add that that has to be a condition that you guys impose on the project or recommend to the selectmen, and the selectmen impose it. If you don't impose a condition, you don't have any control.
Miss?
Amy Murins, 31 Hunters Lane. I just have a couple of things. Again, my main concern is the water for all of us that live over there. In 5 years, if our wells run dry, who's responsible for that? I don't know if you guys have an answer for that. Who would be responsible?
Well, it's... That who would be responsible is a difficult question, but again, this, as I said, this is the very first step in a, and as Steve has alluded to, this is the very first step in a lengthy process. And part of the process is engineering and water studies will be required, both at the state level and at the local level, to make sure that there is sufficient water to support this project. So there are safeguards in place for any project of this kind to try to make sure that what you're talking about doesn't happen. Anytime that private water wells are going to be used, these sort of studies have to be done. What's for the whole, you know, is it an aquifer? What is it? You know, what is the water source? All of that has to be identified. That's, you know, part of the process to protect not only you, but to obviously to protect the people who are going to be counting on the water that's in this project, because if your well goes dry, so is theirs. You know, so there, it's a legitimate concern, obviously, but there are substantial safeguards throughout the process to make sure that something like that doesn't happen.
And I just have another question. I think you had mentioned it was affordable housing last time. So what does that mean? Because you had your version of affordable housing is totally different than my version of affordable housing. So I didn't know how, because I think you guys said you were going to sell so many condos to, is it 55 up, and the other condos to families. I just want to understand how that happens, how you can say you can't buy that condo, you're not 55, like, you know.
And I've always wondered about that, too. I think it's illegal across the whole country.
Right.
I think
well, that was
it's discrimination by yeah. age.
We're not excluding anyone.
But anyways, we sorry, we're not, we don't have any age, right?
Correct.
It's, it was giving a, what we're trying to do is give a first shot to residents of Lyman.
Okay.
But that's tricky to do, legally also. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to give a window for first dibs at it, right?
Yes, and by designing it as 2 bedrooms each, organically, we see that it would be around 50% of the units will, by nature, will be people 55 and older, all right? Because it's just designed as 2 bedrooms. These are not large places. The other question you had was, these will be market rate. So that is all a function of what the market is at the time they're built.
But as far as affordability, we took that right out of the comprehensive plan.
Correct.
And the term affordable, it's used for affordable housing with a subsidized project. And it's used in all kinds of ways. What we're saying is, you know, something that's affordable for people that don't want a big house.
Right.
That don't want a big, huge tract of land.
Yeah. I just think of, like, I mean, I'm not against kids, obviously. I have kids, but, you know, it costs more money, you know, for the schools. The mask mandate's gone now, so more kids are going to be going into the schools. That's obvious, you know, and then you have to worry about the size of the classrooms and if there's enough room there, the school buses, the ambulances we're going to need, the more... the state police have to be, you know, funded more so that they can go check out everything. I mean, and my concern is if this goes through, again, I know it was mentioned before, but I can't see how if I bought a property and I said, I want to do 20 condos on my land, how are they going to stop me from doing that when you already allowed somebody else to do that? That's the thing. You can't say yes to one, and then the other one comes, and you can't say no. I mean, to me, that's not legal. So, but.
Get rid of contract zoning.
Yes, ma'am.
Michelle Felicetti, Redbrook Drive. Kind of, I guess the last time the kids, I did finally print it out for you guys. I forwarded it to Patty, starting late in the day. It was a really large Excel sheet, and I wasn't going to print it out. So the numbers to back what it costs for a child to be educated in the town here is $12,000, thereabouts. So now that you're saying 31 units, my math is now off on here, but you know, basically you said possibly five children would live there, so that'd be $60,000. The last meeting I was able to watch, the approximate cost for money to come receive was $150,000.
Yeah, 160, I think.
So I'm assuming that would now pare down with 31 units versus 36. So I'm sure that all has to be remain to be seen, but you figure five kids is $60,000, 10 kids is 120. That's just to educate them. That's for kids that don't have issues. So you look at that, and then where's the money for the transfer station? We've seen what that's done with COVID. The roads, the fire, the ambulance, if we do need to get a police officer presence here. So just looking at the tax burden, on a crazy number, if there was 36 kids, if there was 36 units and one child per unit, that's $432,000 to educate those children. So, and the other question I had is the baseball field. Nostalgia is awesome, but where's the parking for that? I mean, on a good day, and living, the gentleman talked about living across the way, when the games would be there, it would be so crowded. Everyone's parked on Route 35, up on the lawn. Is there a parking lot that's going to be supplied for the ball field? Because where's everyone going to park? I don't think that the condo people or the people that own Cousins are going to want to have people on their lawn or cramping them. There's usually those games all day long. So those are my two questions. I thank you for your time. Patty, I did print these out.
There is a printout.
They have that. Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Want me to speak to that at all?
Sure.
Just on the parking, yeah, we're looking forward to working that out. I mean, that's something that, as we go through site plan approval, parking's, my bigger concern is to not have people parking up along the road, you know, like we're doing right here. But, you know, those are things that have to be addressed. Absolutely. I mean, we did show one conceptually. We showed a gravel parking lot past the baseball diamond. And then kind of restructuring a little bit out. It's a little all over the place right now. So give it a little more definition so people know where to park. But that's absolutely something that has to be figured out come design. Thanks.
Mr. Thibodeau?
I got a question as to how Cousins, like you have it listed with 1.5 acres. I thought it was a 3-acre minimum lot.
That's right.
It ain't in the commercial district. How is it listed for 1.5 acres?
It's conceptual. Again, this is not.
Well, yeah, but you have it listed. It's publicized.
Yes, it is conceptual. It is not etched in stone.
So that's also contingent on this contract, though.
What is contingent?
The lot, the for sale of Cousin School at 1.5 acres.
If we get the contract zone, that's what we're doing, is the contract.
But
is
you currently have it listed with 1.5 acres. It's in a three acre lot. Minimum 3 acres. You have it listed for 1.5 acres.
It would be part of the association. I had to define some acreage. Again,
okay, so define it as three, which is what the current thing is. It's not 1.5. It's three. So very easy to put three in instead of 1.5.
Okay, Mr. Hull?
Well, if I can, I think the Cousin School has been on a separate lot, which predated zoning. So it's probably a grandfathered lot.
Six Thanks, Andy. Mr. Long?
How can you list a property for sale with 1 acre if it has six?
It would be part of an association.
Right, but this is on the market now.
Right.
So if someone wanted to come and said, I'm buying Cousin School tomorrow, and you say, I'm going to sell it to you, and they say, how much land is with it? It's 1 acre. Are you going to sell that to them with 1 acre?
Well, it's not going to work because we couldn't sell it as 1 acre. Again, we're looking at, we're trying to cast a wide net.
False advertisement or...
Okay.
I'm just questioning, so I'm trying to wrap my head around that part.
Okay, I'm going to take a turn and read a letter from Robertson, Krieger, and McCallum, attorneys at law. It says, Dear Planning Department, City Council, and Select Persons, I write as attorney for St. Philip Church at 404 Goodwin's Mills Road. The church abuts a proposed development by Bonnie Beg Land Developers, LLC of 382 Goodwin's Mills Road, the former school location. The church urges the town to look carefully at the proposed development, particularly in light of the water table in the area. The new impervious surface being proposed, the church side location of any proposed septic, and proximity to the project of the church, its baseball field, and its parking lot. The church does not take a position opposing development of the site, but it does want to ensure that whatever development ultimately may be permitted will not exacerbate the long-standing water issues in this area. The town should consider the appropriate tools at its disposal to address the engineering as to water runoff and septic for up to 45 residential units, town engineering review, external peer review, post-approval monitoring, or other options. The church understands that contract zoning is being considered and that the planning board is conducting a March 16, 2022 hearing regarding the contract zone. Any approval of a contract zone would typically need to be referred to the select board. Please make this letter part of the official process with respect to both the contract zone proceedings and to any site plan review. And signed, Thomas R. Kelly. Okay. Now, does anybody else have a question or comments?
So I have a question. Bruce Woodward, 155 Goodwin's Mills Road. And I don't know if you can answer this or not, but quite simply, has the planning board seen that body bag development has met the four criteria?
We haven't got to that point yet. Okay. Thank you. I'll take the guy in the back there.
I'll let him go first. He's well spoken. I want to address one thing, and I think, quite frankly, consideration of this is premature, and I do know that there's a tension between the expense of hiring professionals to do a plan and to develop a plan that's suitable for presentation when you don't know whether you're going to get the approval or not, because you need something that's unique, a contract zone change. But I would urge you guys to read the 10 items that are in the conditions and restrictions and see if in good conscience you can make a decision as to approving or conditions that there may be, because I don't think you have enough information before you. You don't have a plan describes provisions for preservation of open space and buffers, protection of natural areas and historic sites, what provisions for municipal services are going to be required, specifications for the design and layout of buildings and other improvements. Joe is absolutely right. There's going to be planning board review, but I think there's an extra burden on the applicant when he's looking for permission to do something which isn't a permitted, doesn't meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance. They're asking here to be exempt from the normal requirements and be subject to some special requirements as to density and all of that kind of stuff. I just don't think you have enough information there to do that and comply with the obligations under the terms of the contract zone that are put on you. Thanks. And this is the last time I will speak. I promise.
Right. Mr. Tibbetts?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Hull. I've got quite a bit I gave you guys in my packet that compares our contract zone to the state. Ours is quite a bit more liberal. And I also have state ordinance that says that ordinances can't be more liberal than state ordinances. And I'm no attorney, obviously, but it's just research I found, and I thought you folks might find it interesting. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes?
Sean McDonough, 13 Spikehorn Circle.
Stupid question. How far back is that 13 acres? There's a bunch of trees behind the school. How much is that going to be taken down?
I don't recall the distance.
Give me a long shot. I mean, you put 1 versus 3 acres, so give me a long shot on how many trees you're going to cut down.
Most of it.
520.
Yes. Okay.
About 29 or 27.
Well, I'm looking at Google Map, and I'm telling you this because I left Maine a long time ago for the military. I've seen expansion through farmland out west that you couldn't keep up with. This isn't anything like that. But I came back, and I bought my house right here, and I joked with people when I was out west. I like Maine because I can stand in my backyard, take a piss, and nobody knows. What's going to happen here? Somebody's going to be judging me on how long I'm pissing in my backyard.
Everyone wants to.
It's different. So I understand what you're doing, because if it was my property and I could make a buck, I'd probably try to, but I'm also a property owner that really loves the owls that come around, that get called, the deer that walk back there, the muskrat, and the mink that eat my chickens, and everything like that. So how much of that are you going to destroy? Because I look at the center of town, and that's a big green chunk in my backyard that's going to go away.
Stephen, the rear setback. The rear setback is at 40 feet. So there is a minimum 40 feet setback.
There is. And as part of the subdivision review, site plan review, we'll be talking buffers for that reason. Pretty sure you guys will home right in on it. But that'll be under discussion. And by the way, thank you for your service. That was the first thing I wanted to say.
Question, comment? Kim?
Sue Briggs, 621 South Waterboro Road. I just have a stupid question, only because I don't have it in front of me. In the town comprehensive plan, it recommends that the minimum lot size be 1 acre. Is that correct? It doesn't go to half an acre. It doesn't go to a third of an acre. It says 3 and 1 are recommended lot sizes if there's a reduction. Is that correct?
It does say that.
Yes.
Is that what it says?
If I may.
Yes.
Why are we entertaining?
Consider the recommendation from the comprehensive plan. Consider establishment of a low density and a minimum density rural zone. Low-density lot sizes between 2 to 5 acres should be considered to protect rural areas. 1 acre lot size should be considered near existing development in suitable areas. Period.
Thank you.
There's a period on the end of that?
There is.
There's okay, a period on the end of that. Why are we even considering 36 units on 14 acres? And why are we even considering making judgments so he can sell property for our selectmen without even having a buyer? The buyer has not hired an engineering firm yet. He's looking at trucking companies, considering a lot of 1 acre at Cousin School, which currently is a building with 6 acres. Has the resurveyance of that area been done yet? I don't think so. So I'm just questioning why we're even entertaining this, because obviously if we allow contract zoning for this gentleman so he can advertise it, the price of his lots go from $500,000 maybe to $1 million, because now they have a better bargaining chip with somebody who wants to buy it. So I'm going to say.
Mr. Chairman, if I may respond to just the first question that was asked. And the language that, I'm sorry.
Joe Wagner.
Thank you. Read that, the key word in there, as I pointed out in one of the submissions that I made earlier to the board, is that reference in there is to the rural zone.
It's
that acreage is talking about the rural zone. So we're not in the rural zone.
The whole town is rural.
We don't have a town.
The town is rural.
There's no definition of rural zone. It's general purpose.
We're a rural town, and this is a residential area. There's a distinction between the two.
Okay, Mr. Tibbet.
I believe the whole concept has to be read and understood. This is from your comprehensive plan.
Which page you
rural, rural, it's on page 2 of my presentation. This is revised request places emphasis on certain terms in the comprehensive plan, like rural and residential zones. The actual emphasis should be on investigate, establishing different lot sizes, and develop varying land density patterns. These are both action directives laid out by a comprehensive plan given to the town to accomplish. We have not done that yet. It's not permission for a property owner to exploit or bend our ordinances. They're directives for us to do to have the right ordinances for our growth. I was on the comprehensive plan when this was written. That was the intent of it, and this is what we intended it for. We recognized Lyman was going to grow. We recognized we didn't have everything in place for it. We knew we had to prepare for it. And that's the way this was laid out. I remember this very well as I sat on that board.
Yeah.
I just have Bill Nowicki. I live at 232 Alewife Road. I have one question for the board and one question only. If you approve a contract zone tonight or tomorrow or whenever you might vote on this, and then tomorrow morning that cousin school property or one of the other properties sells, does the contract zone go with it?
It doesn't.
My only question.
If you read the contract zone, they'd have to come back before the planning board to get permission to have it.
And the contract zone would be approved.
The contract zone would be approved.
Right, but the new owner would have to come prove that they can afford to have it. They'd have to go through the process again.
But it would go with the sale.
But it would go with the sale.
The new owner, say there's a property down here that has a contract zone that happens to sell beer up on a hill. Okay, let's say that property is sold. The new owner would have to come back and renew the contract with the town. The contract goes with the seller. The contract goes to the seller of the owner of the property at the time the contract is approved. If that person decides to sell, then you've got to go through and come back and get the contract renewed, or possibly at that time there could be additional conditions put on it if there have been complaints and other things about the existing use of the contract. So it goes, it's vested in the person who gets it approved, the owner at that time.
John, I don't want to make you hold your hand up too long, but as an add-on to that question, if I'm not mistaken, in the contract zone, there's a review after X number of years.
I don't see one written in.
Conditional use, but we don't have that anymore.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think answer. The way the ordinance reads, before forwarding a recommendation of a contract zoning amendment to the Board of Selectmen, the planning board shall make a finding on each of the four standards in the subsection, right over there. Now, it says forwarding a recommendation, doesn't say a favorable or unfavorable recommendation at that point. A favorable recommendation requires a favorable recommendation to the Board of Selectmen requires a positive finding on all four of those standards.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of send it forward to the Board of Selectmen with a favorable or an unfavorable recommendation.
Yep.
Does that answer?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Vicki?
Victoria Gable, Pennymont's Lawn Road. There's an election coming up in less than 3 months. You should turn this question over to the people of the town of Lyman to decide if this is going to happen or not. I would encourage that you throw it back to the Board of Selectmen and they put it on the warrant for the election day.
Thank you. We'll take the guy in the back first.
Thank you.
St. Ange.
They've had their turn. I disagree with Mr. Hernan in regards to contract zone. If you approve the contract zone, that adds to the value of that property. The applicant, the person that buys that zone, he still has to go through the same process these gentlemen are going to have to. They get the contract zone approved, then they have to come in with all of their, we're going to build this, we're going to do that. It would be the same thing with the buyer of that property. That contract will go with the property. He'll then have to come before you and lay out all of the specifics he plans to put in there.
Okay, Mr. Tibbetts.
How would contract zoning work with a condominium situation? Because they're bought and sold, correct? So you'd have your builder owns the property, and then would every condominium that sold have to write a new contract before with the town? I'm lost on
that. The condominium is a form of ownership. The contract zone is in use. So they're two different things. So in 3 years, a person wants to sell their condo, they sell their condo. The person buying it, there are deed restrictions that it is a condo and they have to be part of the association. So that's how there are rules, regulations with the declaration, and there are bylaws.
What does that have to do with contract zoning?
The contract
zone. The board just said the contract zone lives and dies with the original owner. So, and that means to me, once it is sold, that's a new owner. So it's a new contract. Irregardless to what anybody else says, it's still a contract zone. Am I understanding this wrong?
Can I address that?
That part, yes. The contract zone covers the entire property and allows for the development, whether it's condominiums, whatever it is. But those individual condominium units are not the owners of the contract zone. They're going to be subject to all of the conditions that are imposed on the contract zone. But they're not an owner that has to go back and renegotiate contract zoning every time a condo sells.
They are
an owner of a condominium, which is located on the land, which is subject to the contract zone. So they're subject to the rules and regulations and restrictions that are imposed on the contract zone.
Is it a condominium or a PUD? Because as I understand it, with a PUD, they also own
all condominiums are PUDs.
I don't think so. That's all right.
If I could, one of the things we got a little rebuttal on is contract zoning could contain provisions stating that will be transferred to the association. So, get a contract zone the developer has it. Part of the contract zoning would stipulate that once the development is complete, the contract will be transferred over to the homeowners association. Now, when you own a condominium, you essentially own airspace surrounded by four walls. The land itself, that part of that belongs to the contract zoning, the association would be responsible for that contract zoning. As an owner of the property, part of your CCs and R's, you automatically become part of the association and thereby accepting the rules of the contract zone.
Please read the definitions of PUDs.
I'm a real estate appraiser. I know that exceptionally well.
So, as I understand it, they own, don't just own space if it's a PUD.
A PUD is a planned unit development.
Yes, sir.
This is a condominium, which falls under that.
Yes.
A PUD, you can own land individually. You can have cluster developments. You can have whole myriad. PUD is just a general term.
Yes, sir, that's what
with
I
this, this is not a site condo. I don't presume you're planning on doing this as a site condo, which would deed the land. So the owners would own the building. That's it. Not the land around it, not the ground underneath it.
So that's not space. That's the building.
And they, depending on how the contract, the deeds are written, they could own a 1/30th interest in the overall land. Or they just own the building itself and pay the association fees associated with it.
You can see how that would be a challenge for the town on assessing.
No.
On the individual? Because if it's a condominium owner and all they own is space, you tax them on personal property. If and they own the building, you've got to tax the individual owner on the building.
And then you have the value of the land, and the value of the land is divided up proportionately to the number of units and the number of occupants.
They'll get the taxes out of it, John. No
worries. Yeah, you'll get the taxes out of it.
That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about, this goes back to my confusion with the application of the PUDs, the condominiums, and just, I don't want to say anything derogatory because I'm a rank amateur at this. But you can see where the confusion would lie.
Yeah, there are many different forms of ownership out there.
Okay.
And I deal with a lot.
Okay.
So it's because you can have a PUD, not a condominium association. You can have cluster developments that's not a PUD.
Are you 100% clear what this thing is?
Yes, I am.
Oh, please tell me.
It's taken me 19 years to get to where I am.
That's what I'm saying. I'm asking nicely.
Do you still want me to have the floor, Mr. Chair?
Well, I think we need to move on from this.
All right, I'm sorry. I've taken up too much time already. It's
Mr. Demers?
Yeah, Jeff Demers, 303 Waterview Pond, thank you. If I could get that answer, I'm very curious of that answer. If I could have my time to have him give me that answer, I'd really like to hear that.
I could speak to you after the meeting.
I'd like the floor to hear it, and I'd like it in the minutes, if I could, please. And if you say no, you're the boss, I understand. My second thing is going to be, there was five great questions that this board brought forward at the last meeting that I'm going to be responded to during this meeting or the following meeting coming.
We did get a response to them.
You did or did not?
We did.
Are you going to give them at this meeting or?
Well, it cites case law. It's a pretty dry reading.
Are them available?
Yes, I don't see why you can't have a copy.
So we will not hear what the answers were to them questions, is what I'm hearing.
You stay by the hearing, you will. The meeting, you will.
That's what I just asked. Are you going to do it here, or are you going to do it during the meeting?
I guess one at a time.
Do you want to read them, Don?
Okay, I'll read what... Okay.
Can we get the definition first? I'm really curious about the definition, because I am totally confused.
Definition.
The condo and...
Well,
you want to do a definition, Kelly?
I can't give you a verbatim definition of a PUD. I don't have the Appraisal Institute book of definitions. Planned unit development, as it says, planned unit development. You have a piece of land, you break it up, you develop it. Whether it's residential, commercial, agricultural, whatever. Almost anything can be a PUD, depending on because you've planned it. I'm having this here, this here, this here. Condominium is a form of ownership. You can condominiumize a boat dock if you want and have certain rights to use it at certain times. You can have residential condominiums. We're all most familiar with that. Most condominium ownerships, you own the interior of the wall space. Period. Simple as that. Then you have what's called site condos, which the closest example I can think of is a proposed or ongoing golf course off 9A in Wells. It's condominiumized land, large parcel, benefits, but you own your quarter-acre parcel of land that the house sits on. So you buy a house, you have exclusive use of X amount of land space, but you also pay to maintain other amenities to the association.
I'm just trying to think of cluster development. You have a parcel of land, 50 acres, wetland, mountainous, bony, useless land, but you have the acreage available to you on paper to put in X amount of units. What you do is you bring them all together, bring them close, and then you give partial interest, or in general, the association has all the use of that land so that you have developed to the maximum allowable by the zoning, but brought them together. So you have your 5 acres, but it could be half a block away, quarter of a mile away. And there's just so many definitions of land use and development.
What is this one?
This is two parts. It's condominium association. We have land in common that they're going to use, and it's a PUD because it is planned unit development. So it is a PUD that is condominiumized.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hopefully that's clearer than the muddy water that sat on.
You don't know, you want to read?
Oh, they're all put together?
Yep.
So,
go ahead.
I'll
take them. Yes, is this from MMA or is this from an outside?
Well, from MMA, and also we got feedback from town attorney Brad Morton. Okay, appropriate. So, a little bit lengthy, my apologies. First question he posed was, is there a conflict between state law and town's ordinance regarding contract zoning? In our ordinance, section 183F, we have four standards that the board has to make a positive finding for their recommendation to the Board of Selectmen. Number three states, is consistent with, but not limited to, the existing uses and permitted uses within any zoning district. The words not limited to are not in the state law. Is this a conflict that invalidates our ordinance? Or does our requirement in section 171 apply? It states, whenever a provision in this ordinance conflicts with or is inconsistent with another provision of this ordinance or any other ordinance, regulation, or statute, the more restrictive provision shall control, unless otherwise indicated. From MMA, we got, do not read this phrase as contradictory to the statutory requirements. The statute requires that rezoning through contract zoning must be consistent with the existing and permitted uses, not that the zoning must be exactly the same as existing and permitted uses. I read the not limited to phrase to be more of an explanatory phrase that is consistent with the intent of the statutory language. Moreover, the inclusion of this phrase is one provision of your land use ordinance. Even if it could be argued as inconsistent with state requirements, it would not serve to invalidate the ordinance entirely. Rather, to the extent the language would allow contract zoning that is more expansive than the statute intends, the ordinance should be interpreted to be more restrictive and consistent with the statute. If the planning board takes issue with this phrase or finds it confusing, they may want to note the language for modification when it comes time to amend the zoning ordinance in the future. That's from MMA and from our town attorney. I agree with this, Brett. Okay?
That was obviously written by a lawyer.
Now, the second one, I can read the entire thing, but it deals with the 20,000 square foot requirement, and the counselor has already conceded that that does apply. Should I go through the through that one? That is okay, settled.
That's less than half an acre, right? 43,560 in an acre.
Half a builder's acre.
They're wondering.
But there's 43,000.
560 square feet in an acre.
All right. The third question we posed was, it's comparable. In section 3.5 of our ordinance, it states no dwelling or septic system may be located on any lot size less than 20,000 square feet in size. No variance shall be granted from this requirement. While the property in this pending application is not a non-conforming lot, does this restriction still apply
in that it expresses a sentiment similar to that of the 20,000 square foot limit for a dwelling or septic system. And again, that has been conceded by the council for the applicant as the 20,000 square feet applies. Okay, and that's let's see, number four. But plan unit developments are not mentioned in our zoning ordinance. The proposed project is a PUD. In section 5 of our ordinance, under each zoning district, it states, if a use is not listed, then that use is prohibited in the district. Would this language require the board to make a negative finding on the use being consistent with, but not limited to, the existing and permitted uses within any zoning district? MMA, I recommend speaking with your town attorney about the applicability of this provision in your ordinance to the proposed project. The answer likely depends on the specifics of the project, the particular district, and whether PUDs would be characterized as a use. I am not entirely familiar with the term, but a PUD appears to be a type of ownership of a particular use, residential property, single-family or multifamily dwellings, governed by a homeowners association, rather than a specific type of use in itself. From the town attorney, I agree with this. Planned unit developments is a broader term of ownership and not a use. This is a condominium or cluster subdivision with shared open spaces. Number five, and this one I think addresses this particular one thing you were asking. We were all curious about the transfer of the contract. Okay, we posed it this way. This project is being applied by a developer who intends to create a condo association to own land and be responsible for maintenance. Mm-hmm. If the town enters into a contract with the developer and in the future turns the ownership over to the association, would that require the association to come back and get the contract transferred to them? In section 183E, condition number 9 says, provisions for transfer of the contract must come before the planning board and board of selectmen to demonstrate technical and financial ability to fulfill the contract. MMA. Since I am not privy to the specifics of the proposed project, I am not qualified to opine. Again, I think this question is better directed to your town attorney, who can provide in-depth analysis of the applicability of particular ordinance provisions to the proposed project. Our town attorney said, I agree it needs to be transferred to the association owning the common areas elements after the declarant releases control. But the contract should contain provisions stating that it will be transferred to the association so there will not be uncertainty on the part of anyone buying into the development. Their deeds would also probably contain provisions making them subject to the requirements of the contract zoning agreement. Those are the five things that we posed, those are the answers we got.
One question. These people that would be part of the association, are you saying they would own part of the Cousins School too? If it's all one?
That would be a separate, that would be the 31st ownership unit. You've got the 30 residential units, and the owner of the Cousins School would be that 31st owner. So that would be one unit itself.
The maintenance of the home, the maintenance of Cousins, that property would not be a responsibility of the homeowners association?
They would be part of the homeowners association.
The association would be responsible for the upkeep of the property.
Yes, whatever they govern. And you know this, typically the HOA is responsible for the outside, the shell, the roof, siding, whatever occurs at the outside.
The best one I can think of off the top of my head is the condo association off Ross Road in Old Orchard Beach, which is the 55 or over development. Mm-hmm. Inside, within that whole development, there is a medical building. Medical buildings owned by doctors and other medical affiliates, but they pay membership to the homeowners association with the other residential owners for the maintenance upkeep of the roads, the landscaping, the plowing, the shoveling, paving, and all that. So the owner of, if I'm understanding you correctly, the owner of Cousin School would be responsible for the maintenance of the interior, exterior of the building, most likely. Their fees for the homeowners association would cover the landscaping, the plowing, salt and sanding, the whole nine yards, everything else, just as the residential. And I'm presuming it would be proportionate due to, based on footprint.
Yes, and now, in fairness, if I was a homeowner of one of the condos, I would not want the 30 owners to pay for maintenance of the outside of the Cousin School because it is so large.
Right.
So the good thing is that it's got a brand new roof. It's brick. It's got new windows. So in theory, when it's drafted, the attorney, Joe probably would handle this, he would draft it where the association would handle the outside of the 30 units, but the owner of the Cousin School, the entity, the condominium owner, they would be responsible. But again, that's up to what the association would do. But typically, they would probably pay for ours. Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
James Johnson, 19 Huff Road. The roads in this development, are they going to be private roads? Are they going to be town roads? Who's going to be responsible for them?
Great question. That's a private road. So that would not be the responsibility of the town. That would be the HOA to maintain it.
Well, my second question on that is, private roads in this town have become town roads in the past. What is preventing that HOA from trying to put that on the town later?
Great question. That would be part of the contract zone that, again, this is going with the planning board. They're going to have restrictions, and that's one of it, that is the HOA that is responsible for that. It is not a town.
And in recent additions to the ordinance, we put in the requirements for transfer of a roadway from private to public, and the bar is quite high, intentionally so.
Hey, Michelle?
Quick question. Is the ball field part of, like, Cousins where it's going to maintain? If they get tired of maintaining it down the road, can they sell that, get rid of it, bulldoze it? Or is that part of the, put more apartments there? How does that work?
We don't know yet.
You'd have to come back and modify the contract, you know. I don't know. The ball field would have to remain per contract or you'd be out of compliance.
Could they be an owner?
What's that?
I'm sorry, Joanne Johnson. Whoever takes care of the ball field, can that be a separate owner?
Well, that would be part of their association, I assume.
The HOA would maintain that. They would have some type of loose contract with the Little League. My son was in Little League 3 years ago, and the parents, they're great at maintaining. I suspect the same thing happens here where the people who run the Little League, they're out there cutting the grass and maintaining it. They would have a contract for liability insurance with the HOA.
Yeah, the HOA would fund it. Someone has to pay for fertilizer and all that stuff. You know?
Mr. Thibodeau?
Can we, I've seen where HOAs get sold, and then all of a sudden it's no longer affordable for the people that are in it, and then you have a mass sale going on. I mean, can we hold it so that the owner of this is accountable for his own HOA? Because this could just be a cash cow. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it would seem to me that an HOA can be sold.
I've never heard of that before, but I'm not saying it's not possible.
No, it is.
It is.
You need the votes of all of them.
That's going to be part of the bylaws with the HOA. They're going to have whatever it is. I don't know. That's up to what they decide, collectively, the 31 owners. But again, they have a contract. There's a contract agreement, so they can't void the agreement.
Yes?
Roger Hooper, I'm on John Street.
when I came over here tonight, I had no opinion about this project at all. I think he owned the property, whatever the finger of the one to do it as long as it meets the law. But after listening to some of the stuff that's gone on here tonight, I'm under the impression that we're trying to take our contract zone and stretch it to fit a project that it wasn't intended for. And I think if this project goes ahead, it's just going to open up other problems down the road. Because, again, I don't think that the contract zone was intended for a project like this. I mean, we're talking about fixed property that will change ownership. And then how does changing the contract move with a new owner? I don't envy your position on the board, and I don't envy what the selectmen are going to have to do with you down the road, but good luck. I think you're in for a good ride with this one.
Thank you.
Any more questions or comments? Mr. Wong?
Just to be clear, whatever decision the planning board makes, the select board can go against it and rule whatever way they want to rule.
Correct.
So if you say no, they can say yes.
Correct.
Why don't you get yourself off the hook and give it to the town to decide? Mm-hmm.
Could you state your name, please?
Bill Cook.
Okay. I didn't hear what you said.
Excuse me?
I didn't hear you.
I said if you want to get yourselves off the hook, some of the people have already said, why don't you give it to the town to vote? Let the town vote what they want to do.
Do you have another letter I'm going to read into the minutes? Says, dear Lyman Planning Board members, I am unable to attend the public hearing this evening and ask that my letter be read into the record. I have lived in Lyman since 1993. During that time, I have lived off of Huff Road, lived on Kennebunk Pond Road, and now reside off of Kennebunk Pond Road. In all those locations, one thing has remained the same, the feeling I carried of living in a small rural town. There's a reason why when it came time to start thinking about where we wanted to live, my husband and I decided to purchase a larger parcel of land to build a home and raise our family on. It has always been our hope that we would one day split up our land into a large lot size and share that land with our children and their families. While my property is not located near the proposed development site, I do work in the heart of Goodwin's Mills and only a short distance away from the proposed development site. And while I know that growth and change are inevitable, I do not think that as a town we are in the right place to be going forward with a development of this nature and size. We currently have an ordinance review committee of one member. We have many ordinances that are over 5 years old and have not been reviewed. There are a number of questions that were asked at the last public hearing that, to my knowledge, still have not been answered. I feel that the changes that will occur in our town due to this development will be significant, and we owe it to each and not every resident, whether in close proximity or not, to the development, to make sure that all of the questions and concerns are answered and addressed before any kind of permits are issued by our planning board. In reading some of the material provided by Bonnie Begg Land Development and our code enforcement office, and watching recorded meetings at which this project has been discussed, I continue to hear and read references from the Town of Lyman Comprehensive Plan, one being to encourage affordable and safe housing opportunities for Lyman residents. To me, this is a very subjective statement. While watching one of the recorded meetings, I heard it said that these condos would be offered at fair market value. It is my understanding that a newly licensed EMT or firefighter starts out at minimum wage. I don't see how this would be an affordable option for a single person. Using my own home, for example, we have owned it for over 20 years and refinanced it 5 times to make our mortgage work for us. Without my husband's income, I would not be able to afford my own home, never mind brand new. Unless Bonnie Begg Land Development and the real estate team are offering these condos to residents on a sliding scale based on a person's income, I don't understand how they continue to tout that these will be an affordable option. There are extremely wide range of incomes in this town, and what is affordable to some will not be affordable to others. As for the safe part, if they are constructed to current town code, the quality of materials and quality of the builder is good. I feel that safe should be a given. Also from the Town of Lyman Comprehensive Plan, as new subdivisions are being developed, this plan asks for subdivision projects and commercial projects to contribute to Lyman's infrastructure.
It also asks that regulations require developers to provide water for rural firefighting that meets the need of national fire protection standards. I have not heard or read anything about how Bonnie Beg Development will be contributing to the town's infrastructure. I heard mention of $160,000 that would be generating taxes a year, but that was reduced to $150,000 a year after some revisions to the plan. It was also mentioned that there could be about 5 children in development. If 5 children requires about $60,000 per year from taxes, that leaves about $90,000 to cover the more costly things, such as roads, fire and rescue, and the transfer station. Is the town asking the developers to contribute in any other way to the infrastructure of Wyman? There are also a number of questions that were raised in the March 2nd, 2022 Planning Board meeting. This may or may not have been answered at this time by either MMA or the town attorney, but I feel it is extremely important for all questions from the Planning Board and residents to be answered to the satisfaction before going forward in any way with this project. Before agreeing to go ahead with the project, I feel it is imperative that the town of Wyman take the necessary steps to ensure that the current ordinances, especially in regards to contract zoning, where I feel there are many unanswered questions and lots of different interpretations from each different party, are solid and cannot be interpreted to mean something different by each different person that reads it. I am asking at this time, as a resident of this town and someone who works with and for the community of Wyman, that the Planning Board hold off on any kind of approval for this project. Thank you very much for your time and your service to our town, Amber Swat. All right, are there any questions or comments? Anybody got something? I've got another one if you want to read this one, Don.
Okay. Dated March 16, 2022, to the Planning Board. Regarding the Bonnie Beg Land Development Project, dear Lyman Planning Board members, for the past 12 years, I've lived in Lyman.
Oh, Don, that was me. You don't have to read that one. I said myself.
Are you already read?
Yeah, well, I spoke, well, I condemned that you don't have to read the whole thing. That's what you guys were into. It's just what I spoke about the money and the ball field.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Got off easy on that
one. Good.
Are there any more questions or comments? Yeah, guy in the back.
Hey, good evening. Andrew Jordan, 34 South Waterboro Road. At the last meeting, I heard John Tibbetts say something somewhat quotable. We're flying blind here. I hear Rick Hull, which many of you respect here, say, there's so many unanswered questions. This is the time. If this doesn't happen, you've signed off. The contract is on its way. The lawyer spoke earlier. The gentleman that was here who left said, you get another bite of the apple. That scares the crap out of me. I live at 34 South Waterboro Road, across the street, wet ground. I don't want a contaminated well. I don't want E. coli or who knows what sneaking across the back of the church property. That's highly saturated land. They have sump pumps going. I hear them constantly. I don't have a basement for the same reason. But these objections are legitimate. Thank you.
Are there any more questions or comments? Last call for questions or comments.
I make a motion we adjourn.
We're not adjourned.
I wanted to make sure everybody got a chance to speak, Bob.
They all are.
Okay, if there's no more questions or comments.
No, I got one.
Oh, okay.
You're not seconding my motion?
So close. Roy McGee, 258 Cooley Mills Road. I'll just make the comment that I'm not for this, but it appalls me that everyone wants to save the school and the ball field. Well, where were you when we had the time to save the school and the ball field? The town voted to sell it, right? Because we didn't stand up. It's theirs. If they did this go through, it's theirs. They should be able to do what they want with that. If we want to save it, then try to buy it back and keep the ball field. You wouldn't want someone doing it through our land. I'm just saying, I don't agree with it, but it is what it is, and we should have stuck up for them.
Yes. Amen. There you go.
Some of us did.
I know, but not enough of us did. I know, sorry. I'm devil's advocate. I don't
want to
be, but I'm just saying it was cold.
Okay, anybody else? Well, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I was going to second it.
Now we're going to leave too.
Yep.
Regular meeting.
We're going to have a regular meeting.
This is going to be on the agenda, folks. First time on the agenda, it's Chris.
Yep.
Five minute break, please.